officially begin, I just want to just give a special Yasher Koach to each one of the first participants and also the Rabbanim and the speakers who come to join us. This is a very special night. This is the fifth, if I remember correctly, the fifth annual Mishmar we've had. And every year it's a tremendous high and tremendous success and tremendous Aliyah, the Ruchnius. And I don't think it's by chance that it always seems to fall out between the parashas of Yisrael, parashas Mishpatim, the parashas that discuss Kabbalah Torah, as we have in this week's parasha, the end of the parasha, the whole last parak, Perek Chavdalit, where it talks about Moshe, about Moshe Amar Aleh Hashem, because Rabbi called out to Moshe and called him, he's ready to give over the Torah and have the bris of Bnei Israel receiving the Torah. We know that the Medrash tells us Bnei Israel that night, that year, Kabbalah Torah stayed up all night waiting to hear Kabbalah Torah. And it's a tremendous, tremendous source for us when we say the famous word of Vayimim Ahem Bezman Hazeh. We try to relive the times and the moments that we read in the parashas there. We relive them not just as historical events, but also as real life in our own lives, trying to build in the events that are going on as we go through the Torah. And this week's parasha, as the hemshich of Kabbalah HaTorah, it's no more befitting parasha between Yisrael and Mishpatim, these two parashas, to have this special evening. And the night is special for the Torah Shabo, for the Mesirus Nefesh, on behalf of on many different accounts, different people, again, the participants and the speakers themselves. But it's a tremendous schus. It's now the second year, Baruch Hashem, that we have the schus of the Rav Agon, Rav Lev, from Moshav Motisyahu, to be here to join us, begin the night, called the festivities, but the real excitement of this Kabbalah HaTorah evening that we're about to have, to a tremendous aliyah for this night, finishing off Beretz Hashem and Yerushalayim, Mokom HaMikdash, and it's really just a tremendous, tremendous hana and schus for us to have a Rav Agon or Zev Shlita, Lev Shlita, to share with us a few words of Torah. Thank you for coming.
It's a mitzvah to be mefarshim nisim. I just heard of a tremendous nace that just happened. When I left my house, I wasn't a gon. And in the 20 minutes it took me to get here, I became a gon in the car. Nace gon. I am, on the one hand, flattered to have been asked to come back here a second time for the same event. I'll tell you the truth, I didn't even look to see what I said the last time. I may be saying the same thing I said. It's very possible, but I don't remember. So if I don't remember, I'm sure you don't remember, any of you are here. But I'm a little intimidated also to have been invited a second time. This reminds me of the Chazan who gave a performance, and when he finished his song, they asked for an encore. He sang it again. And when he finished it the second time, they asked for another encore, and he sang it a third time. After seven times singing the same song, he said, "I'm extremely flattered that you continually want to hear this song over and over, but how many times?" And somebody from the back yelled out, "Till you do it right." So I hope this time I do it right, and you don't have to invite me again.
Don't worry about you for next year.
The truth is that I came here to be Mekayim a mitzvah that I learned from my Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal. He said that when somebody does something right, there's a mitzvah to let them know they did something right. We learned that from Beno Slavchot. When Beno Slavchot asked a good kasha, a good sheila, so the Rabbanu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu not just to answer their sheila, but to say to them, Kain benos slav chadovros. They said good. They asked something good. Somebody does something good, you're supposed to tell them. So I came to tell you. this whole idea, a Mishmor, especially to do with the parshios of Kabbalah Satorah and Mishpatim, is also Nasa V'Nishmas in this week's Seder, is a very, very fine thing, a very good thing, that so many fine Bokrim, B'nai Torah, who are willing to stay up an entire night and to listen to Divrei Torah, to be Osek the Divrei Torah, that's something that is commendable and something that there's a mitzvah to let you know about that. So I came to fulfill that mitzvah. If you look at the structure of Sefer Shmos, Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula. So I understand that before you can have Geula, you have to have Avdus, Golus. So Parshio Shema and Vo'era represent the Maschilin Bignus. You start with Avdus, Shibud Mitzrayim. Then you have Bo, Bishalach, is Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. That's Geula. Without Matan Torah, the Geula wouldn't be complete. V'lakachti Aschem Lila Om. The real Geula ain't l'chod ben chorin al mishosi ba Torah. So you need Parshas Yisra. What's the rest of Sefer Shmos doing in Sefer HaGeula? The Chorah, the Parshios of the Mishkan could be in Vayikra, Torah's Kohanim. Before you can have Karbonos, you have to have a Mishkan. So that Ramban answers. The Ramban in his Hakdama to Sefer Shmos says that the Hemshech of Matan Torah, the real Geula, didn't come until the Shechina returned to Klal Yisrael like it was by the Avos. The Shechina was Shora al Ohaleihem on the Mishkan, Mishachanti, Besocham, and the Mishkan is the Hemshech of Matan Torah, because the Torah was continued to be given Midein Shnei Akruvim, and that was the Hemshech of Har Sinai. In fact, I found a Me'iri in Sanhedrin. The Gemara there asks, Shor Sinai Bekaba. How many Dayanim did you need to be done ashore that came up on Har Sinai was Chayit Skila? Is it like Shor Anisko, which Kemisas have Bailim, Kach Misas Ashor, and you need 23 Dayanim? Well, no, it's Dini Mominus. We don't have such a limud like you have by what's it called by Shor Anisko. So it's only with 3 Dayanim. That's Gemara Shaila. Says the Me'iri, Madahave Have. It's not even Hilchus of the Mashiach. Right? Whatever happened, that Har Sinai happened. It's never going to happen again. There's no another Matan Torah where you can have a Shor Sinai to have this Shaila. Why is the Gemara ask the Shaila? Says the Me'iri, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Rabbanu Shem spoke to Klal Yisrael and continued to give the Torah, had a din of Har Sinai. And if a shore would burst into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, b'chayit skila, and the Gemara has to know how many dayanim you need. So you see from there clearly that the Mishkan is a hemshech to Matan Torah, hemshech to Maimed Har Sinai. So fine. So that's why you need Parshios Truma Tetzave Kisisa Vayakil Tekudei. But it doesn't answer why you need Parshios Mishpatim. What Mishpatim have to do with Sefer HaGeula? Mishpatim could have been in Vayikra just like Parshios Kedoshim. It's a bunch of mitzvahs, mostly civil law, Mishpatim. What does that have to do with Sefer HaGeula? Beyond that, Torah goes out of its way to tell us, V'eila ha-mishpatim, ma'a rishoni mi-sinai, ha-velu mi-sinai, have to know that the mishpatim came mi-sinai, and that the Sanhedrin has to be next to the Mizbeach. What's it mean? What's this idea of mishpatim that has to be connected to the Mizbeach, and Davka connected to Maimon Har-Sinai? Beyond that, Pasuk says, Magid Dvor of Yaakov, Chukov, Mishpotim, Israel, Oosochein, Lecholgoy, or Mishpotim, Bal Yidom, Hallelujah. The Rabbanu Shem didn't make known his Mishpotim to other nations. Why not? Every nation has Mishpotim. But the Rabbanu Shem didn't make known to the Goyim was Chukim, Shatnes, Kashis. These are things that the Goyim don't have. But the Goyim have Lo Sirtzav, the Goyim have Lo Signo, they have all the Mishpotim. So if you're looking for what the Rabbanu Shem didn't make known to the Goyim, it's not Mishpatim, it's Chukim. So why is the Pasuk saying Mishpatim Bal Yedom? in order to understand the place of Seder Mishpatim in Sefer HaGeula and its connection to Maimed Har Sinai, you have to understand what the Inyan of the Aseres HaDibros is. What is special about the Aseres HaDibros? Why did the Rebbe Hashem give us Aseres HaDibros, these specific things, this Tariq Mitzvahs? What's special about the Aseres HaDibros? On the one hand, there is nothing special about the Aseres HaDibros. The Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayos that there is absolutely no more Kedusha in the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha than the words Timna HaYisopilegesh. Exactly equal Kedusha. Every oath in the Torah is an equal Kedusha. Nothing special about the Aseres HaDibros. And that's why when the early Christians began to say that the only thing relevant and significant in the Torah was the Aseres HaDibros, Chazal answered saying the Aseres HaDibros is part of Tefillah. We used to say Aseres HaDibros every day right after Kriyat Shema. We said Birkas Kriyat Shema, Aseres HaDibros, and then the brachas before Shmoneh Esrei. They took it out of davening and they answered to put it into davening again. Not to give a toast that the minim are right. You see, we're giving special attention to the Aseres HaDibros. And the minim say that that's the only relevant, important part of the Torah. It seems like that's true. She took it out. It's usher to put it into tefillah. The Rambam in a tshuva, Taka says, for that reason, you're not allowed to stand up for the Aseres HaDibros. Unless you stand up for the whole lane. If you don't stand up for the rest of the lane, you can't stand up for the Aseres HaDibros. For the same reason, Tarumas HaMinim makes people think that there's something special about the Aseres HaDibros and gives credence to what the early Christians said, that that's the only relevant part of the Torah. Other poskim argue on the Rambam. The Chidah says you could stand because, like Rabbi Cohen said, we're not standing out covered for the Aseres HaDibros. We're standing to reenact, to relive it. They stood by Yisyachshu B'sach Yisohar. We stand up to relive Matan Torah. Others say that had the Chidah known there was such a tshuva of the Rambam, that tshuva of the Rambam was not benimtza in the time of the Chidah, he never would have said it's mutter. Some people say that you shouldn't stand up at Dafka for Anochi, but you should stand from the beginning of the Aliyah. If you don't stand for the whole Kriyas HaTorah, stand from the beginning of the Aliyah, so it shows that you stand for other parts of the Torah too. In any case, be that as it may, it's clear that there is nothing special about the Aseres HaDibros. If that's the case, then why did the Rebbe Hashem choose those Aseres HaDibros to give Pe'el Pe'el Bahar Sinai, and he didn't get up and say, but Timno Ha'isav Bilegesh, Alifas Bereisav, Pe'el Pe'el Bahar Sinai. There must be something special about them. Why did the Rebbe Hashem choose these Aseres HaDibros? So on the one hand, there's nothing special. On the other hand, there must be something special. What is it? If I were to ask you, how many things does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Approximately, ballpark figure. Approximately, how many things does God want to us to do or not to do? So you probably tell me, Taryag. But that's not true, because that's only the Rashi Prakim. It's only the general categories, Taryag Mitzvahs. There's branches and sub-branches and sub-sub-branches. So the answer probably is a heck of a lot of things. Every time we turn around, the Rebbe Hashem wants something else. Eat this, don't eat that. Work now, don't work now. Wear this, don't wear that. Say this, don't say that. Think this, don't think that. Right, a lot of things. It's not true. The Ribbono Shel Olam is one. Hu Echad, Uretzono Echad. And the Ribbono Shel Olam's Ratzon is one. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want a lot of things. He wants one thing. And Chazal told us what that one thing is. The Torah says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimo, Ki in the Yiras Hashem Elokecha. That's all the Rebbe Hashem wants. Yiras Hashem. And Chazal say it even clearer from another pasuk. Hein Yiras Hashem. Hein in Greek is uni, one. Hein Yiras Hashem. There's only one thing the Rebbe Hashem wants. He wants you to be a Yirei Shamayim. That's it. He doesn't want a lot of things. What does that mean to be a Yirei Shamayim? So in a nutshell, what it means is that every second of your life, everything you are thinking, saying and doing should be done with the recognition that you are created by a God who created you in His image and expects you to function accordingly. That's all. That's all the Rebbe Hashem wants from you. That every second, whatever you're thinking, saying and doing should be done as a Tzelem Elokim. That's all. One measly thing. Except that one measly thing encompasses everything. and therefore it's impossible for us to relate to. We could not relate to that one all-encompassing Ratzon Hashem that deals with our lifestyle, our personality, our standards, our values, our goals, and every single second of life, no matter what we are doing, thinking, or saying. It's impossible. It's too nebulous. It's too all-encompassing. And therefore, the Rabban Hashem broke down his Ratzon into what we call nitzis, into its components. That's what the Pasuk says, Achaz Diber Elokim. Really, Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all one. But Shnayim Zu Shamanu, we heard too. We couldn't accept that one as all-encompassing. We had to break it down into its components. What I'm telling you now is not my own chidushim. It's based on a marsha on the end of Makkos. Right, the more over there says the Rabban Hashem gave Tariq Mitzvahs Li Israel, bought David and Midam al Yud Aleph. Look at that Marsha and you'll see this concept. After I tell it to you, you'll see it there for sure. And without that, you may not see it there. But in any case, you look at the Marsha and you'll see that basically what he's saying is what I'm going to tell you now. The Navi complains that Klal Yisrael keep the Torah, Tzav L'Tzav, Kav L'Kav, Ze'er Shom, Ze'er Shom, it's in Yirmiyoh, it's in the Haftorah for Shmos. What's the problem? What's the time that we keep the Torah, Tzav L'Tzav? That's the way we keep the Torah. You don't sit in a sukkah, wave esrog and lulav, eat matzah and blow shofar all at once. Today you have one mitzvah, tomorrow a different mitzvah, the next day a third mitzvah. So what's the problem that we keep the Torah, Tzav L'Tzav? The answer is that if you think the Torah is just a bunch of things to do, but it's not something that encompasses your entire life, your values, your standards, your lifestyle, then that is an avod. Because the Torah is really one achdus of Ratzon Hashem. It's not a bunch of things. It's all that we should be Yirei Shamayim, except in order to be a Yirei Shamayim, you need to break it down into components and see it. The example I love to give is the following. Imagine a gigantic light bulb, which is so big and so bright that you can't look at it. It's too hard to look at. Impossible to look at. Too big and it's too bright. So you take the light bulb and you encase it in a gigantic globe. And you cut 613 little windows in the globe. Through each little window you can see a small portion, small area of the light bulb that's seeable. But you only see a small portion. How do you know what the whole light bulb is, looks like? It's only one light bulb. If you look from all the different vantage points of the 613 windows, you get a composite picture of the light bulb. That's what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs are windows to that one all-encompassing Ratzon Hashem. And each mitzvah gives you a little bit of a different perspective of what that Ratzon is, not just for that mitzvah, but for the entire gamut of a person's existence. So when you keep the Torah just a bunch of mitzvahs, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, you miss the point. Because really, Torah is something that encompasses your entire life and everything about it. And every mitzvah is supposed to reveal to you part of that master plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam for all of life. That's why we find two concepts in the Torah of obeying the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's what's called Shmiya Likol Hashem, listening to what Hashem said, that's doing the mitzvah. In order to open the window and to see Ratzon Hashem, you have to do the mitzvahs. You have to do them, B'dikdu Gadol, to do them properly. If you don't, you'll never open the window. You'll be looking through a different window, looking in a different direction. So first you have to do the mitzvah, B'dikdu Gadol, but it doesn't end there. Then there's a second concept. That's called Shmiya Bikol Hashem, listening in to what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. That means, now that I did the mitzvah, look in the window and see what is this mitzvah supposed to teach me, not just about the mitzvah itself, about my whole life, my lifestyle, my values, my standards. What does this reveal about that Ratzon Hashem that stands behind all the mitzvahs, that is supposed to involve and be a part of every part of my life. That's the Shmiya Bikol Hashem. Where do you see this idea? Back by the Akedah. Pasuk says by the Akedah, Yomar ki asisa sadover azeh v'lo chasachto es bincho es yechidcho mimeni ki voreicha vorechecho v'harbo arbe zaracho kechok v'yashamayim v'chachol asher osfas hayom v'yira zaracho sharibov v'yisborchu v'zaracho kol goyei ha'aretz ei kev asher shomato b'koli. There's a few words here that are extra, not necessary. It says in the beginning of the pasuk why Avram is getting this bracha. Yan asher asisa es hadover hazeh v'lo chasachto es bincho es yechidecho. Can't get clearer than that. Why are you getting this bracha? Because you did this tremendous thing and you didn't hold back yourself. So why? Borecha borechecha. You harba arbe zaracha. You could have lost your son. I'm going to give you more children. And then the pasuk ends, Eikev asher shamato bekoli. Why do I have to say that? I said already, Yan asher asisa. Why do I have to repeat again, Eikev asher shamato bekoli? The idea is that there's two separate brachas here, and two separate things that Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu did the mitzvah he was told to do, Haleu la'ola, which he thought men bring in as an ola. He did that mitzvah, and he was stopped in the middle. If Avraham Avinu only listened likol Hashem, then when the Malach said, "Al tishlach yod cholanar," I said, what should Avraham Avinu done? Packed his bags and go home. The mitzvah's over. I do mitzvahs. The mitzvah was halei oliola. The mitzvah now is leave him alone. Go home. Avraham didn't go home. He called the place Har Hashem Yeroeh, and he brought an ayil. Who asked him to do all those things? He had a mitzvah. The mitzvah now is bottle finished. Why did Avraham Avinu continue on with all these other things? Because Avraham Avinu didn't just do mitzvahs. He was looking to see what Ratzon Hashem was. Okay, the mitzvah wasn't to bring Yitzchak, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that he wants korbanos. So fine, I'll bring an ayil. This is the place now, Har Hashem Yeroeh, will be mechanech this place. Eikev asher shamato bikoli. Not lick holy. Yan asher asisas and the morazeh. You did the mitzvah. You get tzchar. But the fact that you were also listened big holy and went beyond just the mitzvah itself, for that you get a second bracha too. So there's shmiya likol Hashem and shmiya bikol Hashem. There's listening to the mitzvah. There's listening into the mitzvah. And you can have one and miss the other one, and there's something missing in your Avodas Hashem. You want to see this concept also. Look in the beginning of Hamaspik, Avodas Hashem from the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Aramba. Just reprinted a new print of it. In the beginning there he speaks about this concept of seeing the Ratzon Hashem, not just mitzvah. Look there too. In any case, let me give you an example, two examples. Shabbos. Shabbos is a very narrow mitzvah. It's only one day a week. And there's specific halachas, hilchas Shabbos. If you keep hilchas Shabbos, you keep Shabbos, you get schar. But Shabbos also is a window to Ratzon Hashem. Shabbos is supposed to teach me something beyond just the mitzvah of Shabbos. One of the ideas is that the Ratzon Hashem is that a person works, the physical labor in this world is important, but it's not the end goal. There's a Shabbos that comes after those 6 days where the goal of everything you do, Gashmias, in this world, is Rufnias. Is Shabbos, is Mein Olam Haba. The physical world is a means to reach an end. It's not an end in itself. That's the Ratzon Hashem that's Mizgale from the mitzvah of Shabbos. That's the Shmiya Bikol Hashem. So a person who keeps Shabbos meticulously, but the rest of the week he has one goal in life, earn another buck. So Shmiya Likol Hashem he had. He'll get schar for it. But Shmiya Likol Hashem, what does it mean? What are you supposed to learn from this? What does this tell you about the larger, more encompassing Ratzon Hashem? Zero. Give me another marsh. Shraga Feivel Mendelovich was the Rosh Hashiva in Torah Vadas in America about 80 years ago. He was also the Miyaseid of Torah Masorah. He was the Rebbe of my date school principal. I went to the Hebrew Academy of Greater Miami. Anybody here from Miami? Yeah, go to the Hebrew Academy? So we are alumni of the same school. Now it's named in his memory. Rabbi Alexander Gross, Hebrew Academy. But I knew Rabbi Gross himself. I was a teenager, and I went to the academy, and I had a chance to travel with him a lot because I used to speak at the dinners of the academy as a student, like the monkey on the end of the organ grinders. So I used to travel with him to these dinners, and he spoke to me. He told me this story once. It must have been about 15, 16 years old. He said his Rebbe, Rav Shlaga Feivel, told him that he was once invited to eat Friday night by a gvir, a balabos who wanted the kavod of this Rosh Hashiva eating in his home. So they came home, the men came home from shul Friday night, and the balabos knocked on his door, opened the door, looked inside and turned white like he was going to faint. So Rav Shlaga Feivel said there must have been something not right on the other side of that door that this man saw when he opened the door, and I was curious, so I peeked in. And right away, I saw what the problem was. The house was a mess, the table wasn't set, and the housewife looked like she just came from Mars. He said, I right away surmised what happened. This poor woman was tired from preparing for Shabbos. So while the men were in shul, she said, I think I'll lie down for a few minutes and rest, and I'll get up in plenty of time to put the house in order and set the table before they get home. And she fell into a deep sleep, and she didn't wake up until they opened the door. So the house was a mess, the table wasn't set, and she was hovering between this world and some other world. This man was very embarrassed. He's going to have to bring this Rosh Hashiva into his house, and the house is a mess, the table's not set. But he said, as things progressed, I realized that didn't bother him so much. Because he understood that I would understand it's not his fault. He wasn't sure. It's his wife's fault that the house is a mess and the table's not set. You know what bothered him? On the table were two challahs, uncovered, no challah cover. And this man obviously was afraid that Rav Shlaga Feivel would think that he was an Amoritz gomer. He didn't know you're supposed to cover the challahs. So to make it clear to Rav Shlaga Feivel that he knew you're supposed to cover the challahs, he starts yelling at his wife. You are lazy, incompetent. Don't you know you're supposed to cover the challahs? Now Rav Shlaga Feivel knows he knows you're supposed to cover the challahs. So he's made that clear by insulting his wife. Shlaga Feivel said, at that moment he thought to himself, this is the most absurd thing I ever saw in my life. Why? Because one of the reasons we cover the challahs when we make kiddush is because the bracha on bread is more important than the bracha on wine. And if we'd eat tonight bread and wine, first you'd make a motzi and then you make a gothen. But Shabbos you can't do that, you have to make kiddush first. So yira pas gosto, in order not to insult the bread, so we make kiddush with the bread covered. Now, I don't know, maybe my wife bakes insensitive challahs. But I never came home from shul, said something not nice to my challahs, and they ran off the table, locked themselves in their room until I could appease them and get them back to the table. Never happened with my challahs. A few times with my daughters, never with my challahs. Never. Personally, I never saw an embarrassed challah in my life. And if any of you have, I'm sure there's somebody professional who could help you. What does that mean? You're embarrassed to come? Imagine if you invited somebody, you know, who never saw a Shabbos table, just a person who you want to be mashpia on, and they come the first time you ever saw a Shabbos table, and he's sitting at the table looking at these two breads covered with this beautiful cover, and he says, why are those breads covered? Shh, you don't embarrass them. They'll think that you're off the wall. Not him. Right? You're embarrassed to break. What's the idea? So that's the meaning. What's the idea behind it? Even though there are deep Kabbalistic ideas behind it. But the simplest idea is that if you condition yourself not to insult and embarrass an inanimate object like a piece of bread, you'll never come to insult and embarrass a human being. And here's a man, said Rav Shlaga Feivel, embarrassing his wife, insulting her publicly in order to defend the honor of a piece of bread. It's absurd. Shmiya likol Hashem, the mimic, 100%. What does it mean? What am I supposed to learn from that? Zero. That's shmiya bikol Hashem. So there's more to the Torah than just shmiya likol Hashem. There's also shmiya bikol Hashem. Therefore, the Rabbanu Shalom, when he gave us the Torah, wanted us to understand that. He wanted us to understand that the Torah is not a bunch of things to do. It's not a lot of things. It's all really one thing. But I can't give it to you like that because you're incapable of receiving it. You need to receive it by its components, but never make a mistake to think that it's just a bunch of disjointed things. And therefore, it explains another Rashi. Rashi brings a Chazal on the pasuk by Yedaber Elokim es kol advarim o'ele le'mor, that the Rabbanu Shem originally gave all the Aseres HaDibros b'dibor echad. Ma she'ein ha'peh yochol le'daber, ve'ein ha'ozen yochol le'shmo. No human being can say 10 things at the exact same time, and no human being can hear 10 things that the Rabbanu Shem said at the same time. The obvious question is, so why did the Rabbanu Shem do it? To show us he can do tricks? Hey, look, I can do something you can't do. You can't even hear it. You can't even do it. I can do it. That's why the Rabbanu Shem does miracles, to show us that he can do things we can't do. He can do a lot of other things besides, say, Aseres HaDibros b'dibor echad. Why do you do it? The Rabbanu Shem doesn't do miracles for no purpose. This is the idea. The Rabbanu Shem wanted us to know the Torah is one achdus. It's one gilui of Ratzon Hashem. It's not separate things. It's all one thing. But I can't give it to you like that. V'horai, I'm going to try. I'll give you everything at once. And you can't hear it. So I'm going to have to break it down into its components. But even there, the Rabbanu Shem said, I'm not going to break it down right away into 613. I'm going to take 10. 10 is a number of achdus of ribui. It's a collective achdus. You start with one, that's the ultimate achdus. Now you have a lot of things. Till the number 10, all those lot of things are separate. The 10 unites them into one unit of 10. That's why a minyan is 10. It's a collective unity. That's a minyan. Community. It's a communal unity. Collective unity. That's 10. And therefore, the Rabbanu Shem said, I'm going to take the whole Torah and I'm going to condense it into 10 dibros. Sadi Gon says, all the mitzvahs of Torah are merumis in the Aseres HaDibros. It's even more than that. These are the foundations of Kol HaTorah Kula. What's the first one? Emunah. Right. That's the first of the Aseres HaDibros, either the mitzvah of Emunah or the yesod of Emunah, according to the Bahag. It's not a mitzvah. You can't have a mitzvah to believe. Manashach, if you believe already, you don't need a mitzvah. If you don't believe, who's telling you? God said believe in him. Who's God? I don't believe in him to begin with. So you can't have a mitzvah to believe in God. You have to accept it to begin with. The Rambam holds it is a mitzvah. It's a separate shmuz. Why the Rambam holds it is a mitzvah of something like Chorah that can't be a mitzvah. But in any case, so the first, your soul is emunah. If you don't have emunah, there's no Ratzon Hashem, there's no Hashem, there's no mitzvah, there's no nothing. Even if you have emunah, but you also believe in Avodah Zorah, Chazal say, Kol Amodah B'Avodah Zorah, Kekofer B'Chol HaTorah Kula. So you can't have a Ratzon Hashem and a Torah if you believe in Avodah Zorah. So the second thing is Kfir Lo Yelecha. Okay, now you believe in the Rabbanu Shalom, you don't believe in Avodah Zorah. But if you don't have a reverence for the Rabbanu Shalom, you're not interested in being Mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't want to bring a Kiddush Hashem to the world. You don't care about making a Chilul Hashem. So there's no Torah either, with all the Amun in the world. You have to have reverence for the Rabbanu Shalom that you believe. Lo Shisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashon. But that's only lip service. That's only B'dibur. How about putting it in action? Your emunah, to put it in action. What puts emunah into action? Shabbos. Kol HaShomer Shabbos is modeh with the Rabbanu Shalom. A person's mechal Shabbos is a kofer. It's like an over that Avodah Zorah. So now you put it into action. And fine. So now you believe in Hashem and give lip service to Kavod Hashem and action. What about gratitude? What about having Hakoras HaTov to the Rabbanu Shalom and respecting the people that the Rabbanu Shalom expects to give you over that Ratzon Hashem, your parents, your teachers? So the whole inyan of Emunah and accepting the fact that there's a Torah and you have to do Ratzon Hashem and respect Ratzon Hashem and put it into practice and respect the people who are going to be most of that to you, that's the whole first five dibros. That's Bein Olam Makom. And then Bein Olam Chaveiro is all the damage you can do physically to a person is included in Lo Sirtzach. All the damage you can do spiritually to a person is included in Lo Sinach. All the damage you can do to somebody's money is in Lo Signo. All the damage you can do to somebody by speech is Lo Sad. And all the damage you can do by having the wrong Hashkofis is in losachmud. So all the collective damage you can possibly do to a person, physically, mentally, verbally, is included in the last five dibros. So that's kol haTorah kula. That's what the mini Torah is. The mini Torah is aseres haDibros. It's not more important than the rest of the Torah. It is kol haTorah. It's just horrendous. And then the Rabbanu Shel Olam went on as mefarish those remazim. That's the rest of kol haTorah kula. That's the hemshich of Maimon Har Sinai. Somebody asked me, I don't want to go into great detail with this, but just to mention the question and the answer that I gave him at the spot and the answer that I added to it subsequent to that. Somebody just asked me this question about 2 weeks ago. How come Talmud Torah is such an important mitzvah? Right, you're here all night. Okay, that mitzvah, Talmud Torah, how come it's not mentioned in the Aseres HaDibros? So many mitzvahs are mentioned there. Mention Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah can I get cooler? So I told him, and subsequently I added to it, Talmud Torah is the foundation of the Aseres HaDibros, and it's the hemshech of the Aseres HaDibros. It doesn't have to be inside, it is. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the Rambam says, is emuna. Emuna means ladas, leida, knowledge. Know the Rabbanu Shalom. You can't believe in the Rabbanu Shalom. No, he is. I believe in God. What does that mean? I have no idea, but whatever it is, I believe in it. It's absurd. An imam in bemuna shleim. You have to know who the Rabbanu Shalom is. How do you get to know the Rabbanu Shalom? How do you get to know Ratzon Hashem? Learn Torah. It's the only way to get to know the Rabbanu Shalom. Every time you learn another sugya, you get to know a little bit more how the Rabbanu Shalom thinks, because that's what the Torah is. The Torah is Das Hashem. So you get to know from Halacha, from Agada, from every aspect of Torah, you get a little bit more about the Rabbanu Shalom. You get to know about Maisei Hashem, and Pu'ulas Hashem, and Ratzon Hashem, and Das Hashem. And then you can be a Maimon. You know the Rabbanu Shalom. So the mitzvah of Emunah is Talmud Torah. How do you get to know the Rabbanu Shalom? Talmud Torah. So the mitzvah of Emunah is Talmud Torah. And Torah was given as a mini Torah, and then called Gadol v'lo Yosef. It never ended. Lo Yosef, Rashi has two shot. The one shot is Lo Hifsi. Matan Torah is still going on. There's a hemshich to Maimon Har Sinai. You know what that hemshich is? Talmud Torah. Every time you learn Torah, you are continuing on Maimon Har Sinai. You are being negaled more and more from that Ikar Rabbis Hashem, of that mini Torah that was given, and being marchivit to every prat of Torah. So the Talmud of Talmud Torah is the hemshich of Maimon Har Sinai. How do I know that? Give me a few proofs. One is the Gemara in Bracha says, Takonis Ezra, that you had to be tohar from Tumos Hayotze Migufo before you learned Torah. Why? Because the Torah was given Bereses of the Zia and not to Balikarian, right? They had to separate from their wives and they had to be tohar before Matan Torah. So too, you have to learn Torah like that. What's the kesher? This is learning Torah. This is Maimon Har Sinai. There's obviously a difference between Maimon Har Sinai and learning Torah. The answer is there is some difference. Every time you learn Torah, you are Mamshich Maimon Har Sinai. That's what your Rebbe does. He is connecting you to Sinai. He's the conduit. He's the pipeline to connect you to Maimon Har Sinai. When a father teaches his son, Kol HaMalamin is Ben Beno Torah Kilu Kiblu Me Har Sinai. You bring him closer to Har Sinai. Another proof. There's a Ramban in his Hagos to the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam. He adds another mitzvah the Rambam skipped. That's the mitzvah of not forgetting Maimon Har Sinai. As a possible. So they ask on this Ramban the following kasha. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says not like that. The Mishnah says kol hashocheach dover mitalmudo is malol of a kosuv. The Mishnah says that pasuk's not going on Maimon Har Sinai. It's going on Talmud Torah. That if you forget anything you learn, right, it's Yishomer Lecho Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od. So the Ramban says that pasuk going on Zechiras Maimon Har Sinai. You see the Mishnah says not like that. It's going on Shocheach Dover Echad Mitalmud. The answer is pasuk. There's no difference between them. Maimon Har Sinai and Talmud Torah, the same thing. Talmud Torah is the hemshich of Maimon Har Sinai. That's how you're mamshich. That mini Torah the Rabbanu Shem gave, every time you learn Torah, you're megala, another part of that. And your mamshich is from Maimon Har Sinai. Another proof. Kriyas HaTorah. Why don't we read the Torah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon? The Gemara says, you shouldn't go 3 days without Torah, because it says, Vayelchu b'midbar shloshes yomim v'lo motzu mayim. They went 3 days without water. Never should happen again. Water ain't mayim ala Torah. Shouldn't go 3 days without limud haTorah. That means the Kriyas HaTorah is a function of Talmud Torah. Yeah. But the Svarim say that why do we lay by a bima with a balkore and somebody standing on the side? Because it's a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. The bima is Har Sinai. And the person who's laning, if you're a balkore, don't get carried away, represents the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And the person standing on the side is Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sirsi. But the Chora, I thought that Kriyas HaTorah is a function of Talmud Torah. And now we're saying that's a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. The answer is the same thing. Maimon Har Sinai and Talmud Torah are one in the same. That is the hemshir. It's the hemshir of Maimon Har Sinai. So that's where Talmud Torah is. However, this concept that Torah is a gilui of Ratzon Hashem. The more you learn, the more you megala Ratzon Hashem. There's only one Ratzon Hashem. So all the pratim are windows, and the more windows you look through, the more you get a good picture of that all-encompassing Ratzon Hashem. Therefore, in Torah, there's no such thing as civil law, rational law, super-rational law, schukim, mishpatim. The Mitzvah says, that he says it in Taka and Yisrael. He says, all mishpatim are basically chukim. And all chukim are also mishpatim. There's very little difference between them. So every mishpat has an idea of a chok. The mishpat, I heard this idea from Yashaber Soloveitchik, that's all. Heard it in a shir I went once to hear. He said that the black and white areas of mishpatim are rational, right? Not to murder. Somebody goes and shoots somebody in the middle of the street, right? So everybody understands, the whole world understands, that's murder. That's wrong. But the gray areas of those sirtzach are not so rational. Euthanasia. That doesn't mean young people in Asia. It means mercy killing. Mercy killing. I wouldn't want to debate somebody on a purely rational basis of why mercy killing is wrong. Right? The person is 119 and a half years old. He's suffering terribly. Right? He wants his life ended. He begs you to help him to commit suicide. All you have to do is put a little bit too much medicine in his IV. Right? And you give him a chance to leave this world dignity. Rationally, it sounds okay. There's only one problem. Torah says it's right? So it's a hope. Mercy killing is a hope, not necessarily rational. You can make up rational arguments, but somebody's going to make the conditions where the rationale doesn't apply. Abortion. I wouldn't want to argue somebody who's pro-choice, abortion-wise, rational. Torah says that it's considered, what's it called, ritzicha. Whatever darg of ritzicha it is to kill an uber. But rational? It's a woman's body, she can do what he wants, not interested in his pregnancy. Right? Rationally, it's hard to argue because it's not a rational thing. It's a chok. So all mishpatim in their gray areas are chukim. And all chukim have mishpatim to it too. I can tell you a whole shiur on paraduma and explain it and what it means and what we learn from it and the svaras and why it makes sense. Ultimately, it's a chok. So what's the difference between chukim and mishpatim? Chukim are predominantly chok. And partially mishpat, and mishpatim are predominantly mishpat and partially chok. That's all, the only difference. What's the ik, and what's the tough? But boils down to the fact that there's no line of demarcation. There's no laws in the Torah that are just, this is a rational civil law, this is a religious law, because all the mitzvahs are merely windows to Ratzon Hashem, and that Ratzon Hashem is one thing. So if they're all only windows, then they're all the same thing. Some can't be this kind and some be this kind. They're all windows to the same one Ratzon Hashem that applies to every aspect of your life. That applies to this world and the next world and all the worlds. So they're all the same. They're all mixed in together. And I'll prove it to you. give you two examples of what seems to be a religious law in this week's Seder, and it has rational social implications, and what appears to be a social law, like the Goyim had, social laws to enable society to exist. Don't steal. Everybody's stealing from everybody else. There's this anarchy. There's no functioning society. It's a social law. And yet it has deep religious, in quotation marks, implications. Let's start with the second one. Tefillah. Okay, you run, go in the street, and you grab somebody, somebody's carrying something in the street, you grab it from him and run away and steal it. Steal his wallet in broad daylight. You're a gossip. So you're chayif, you're caught, not to get sent to jail, you have to give him back his wallet, or pay him back the money, if you destroyed the wallet, whatever it may be. Okay, pay him back what you sold. What happens though if the guy snuck into your house at night and stole your wallet? He's a gossip. He has to pay kafir. What if he stole your sheep and shechted it or sold it to somebody else? He has to pay back four times. And if he stole an ox, he has to pay back five times. So this is a social law. Can't have stealing, so you got to pay back. Why the kafir? Gemara says, because a guy who steals in broad daylight is not afraid of anybody. Not the rabbonis, from not people. But if you sneak in the house, you're afraid of people and not afraid of the rabbonis, you have to pay double. What does that do with social law? That's a religious law. Right? I stole from you. It's a social law. What do you now? Money, you're a shamayim. That's a separate thing. But no, you're a shamayim. Plays an important part, and I have to pay you double because I'm less of a yiras shamayim. The gvulim, the lines of demarcation, the boundaries are blurred. This seems to be social, but it's religious. Dalit v'hei. Why? Like this one five and this one four. Because I embarrassed myself when I carried the sheep publicly, so I get one off. But I chose to embarrass myself. No, but Elamai, you see over here that it's not just the social law of what I damaged you. It's also midos. It's also what's it called? Tchunas ha-nefesh. What does that have to do with the social law? So mishpatim are not purely social laws. They are as much mixed in with religious law as social law. And that's what it means, mishpatim bal yedol. Goyim, no, social law, don't steal. Stealing is stealing, pay back, let them put in prison, whatever it may be. That's to enforce a functioning society. But what does that have to do with religion? What does that have to do with anything that has to do with midos? Zero. So the Rav Avraham didn't make known his mishpatim to the Goyim, not just chukim. The chukim mishpatim are all the same, because they're all giluyim to Ratzon Hashem. The Mela, they're all the same. How about the other way? How can you have a religious law, but its basis is also something that has implications socially? It says, "Ubosim asod the treifa lo socheilu lakelev tashlichinosa." Not allowed to eat a treifa. We use treifa to mean any kind of thing that's not kosher. A treif can't be, but that's not really true. Treifa means an animal that has one of 18 treifas, and it's living. But if you shecht it, it's still not kosher, and you can't eat the whole animal. One of the treifas is it has a hole in its lung. Right? A wild animal mauled this sheep and put a hole in its lung. It's still alive. Since it has a hole in the lung, it's going to die for sure. That's called a treifa, and if you shecht it, it's treifa. The animal, the meat's not kosher, even though the animal's not tame. It's not metame tumas ochlin. It's not metame tumas nevela, but it's not allowed to eat. So what does the Torah say to do with meat? You have a sheep, you have a herd, and a fox got into the herd, mauled one of your animals, you came in the morning, you found it bloody, and when you shechted it, you found it has a hole in its lung. That's what we check the lungs, to see. It doesn't have to only be mauled, if it had a hole in the lung because of a disease, same thing. So the animal's not kosher. What do you do with it? The Torah tells you what to do with it. Lakelev tashlichinoso. Throw it to the dog. So we know the Medrash. The Medrash says the reason you throw it to the dog is because the dogs didn't bark by Bakas Bechoros, and they get their schar. Enakonis Baruch Mekapeh Schar Kolberi. But the Daz Zekein Mibali Atosis asks, what's the Pashup Shot? Without Medrash. What is the Pashup Shot in the Pashup? Why do you give this meat to the dog? Says the Daz Zekein. because usually shepherds, when they leave their flock, they have a dog helping them, sheep dog. The dog is there to scare away wild animals or whatever and protect the sheep. So this dog did a faithful job of protecting the sheep. Now you have one of the sheep you can't eat. So Hakara Satov to the dog, give him the sheep that you can't eat. Dog is serving you, helping you protect the sheep, give him the meat. There's only one problem, says the Das Kainan. You know why you have a sheep you can't eat? Because the dog didn't do his job. Because had the dog done his job, that fox wouldn't have gotten in. So how you reward the dog for not doing his job? He says, no, this is one time he didn't do the job. But how many tens of times did he do his job? So therefore, don't let this one time that he was not successful erase all the times that he was. Think for a second. You ever have a friend that you were friends with for years, and then one time the friend did something not nice to you? And unfortunately, many people have the reflex action in such a situation to erase that person from their list. You did something not nice, that's it. I don't talk to you anymore. I'm not friendly with you anymore. All the things that you did in the past are meaningless. Just this one thing now erases it all. Torah tells you don't treat a dog like that. That's how you treat a human being. So here is a religious law. Treif! Can't get more religious than that. Treif! And yet the implications of what the Torah says are just as much mixed in with Bein Olam L'Chaveiro as Bein Olam L'Machom. There's no line of demarcation. It's a blurred, two areas that are blurred together. And that's why Mishpatim is part of Sefer HaGeulah. Because there's no Geulah without Torah. And Matan Torah did not end by Matan Torah. It continues on constantly. And it's something that affects every aspect of life. And if we didn't know the Mishpatim were just as much as Maimon Har Sinai as the Chukim, we think that they're stam social laws, then there's no Cheres. Then we didn't get Torah yet. So the Hemshech of Matan Torah is Sefer, is Sefer Mishpatim. Because without Sefer Mishpatim, I don't really know what Matan Torah was. Matan Torah encompassed every aspect of life the same way. And all the mitzvahs, there can't be different kinds of mitzvahs because they all are windows to the same one unified Ratzon Hashem. Let me tell you one final thing that really has nothing to do with what we spoke about till now, just a dessert. Torah says, the beginning of the Sedra, that a Eved Nirtza, so you pierce his earlobe because Ozen Sheshom Al Har Sinai Lo Signal. Right? So that Ozen has to be pierced. And he went and stole and was sold as a slave. Or he sold himself as a slave. Avodai He. Asher Hatzesim Yeres Nisraim. Avodai Velo Avodim Lavodim. You went and sold yourself and bought yourself a human master. That ear that heard on Har Sinai has to be pierced. Always bothered me. L'chora, we don't hear from our earlobes. If somebody would take off your outer ear completely, you could still hear. Now you hear from your inner ear. So if you want to pierce the ear that heard on Har Sinai, l'chora, you should pierce the guy's eardrum. That should be a nirtza. Okay, I imagine Rav Moshe was more Rachmoni than I am, and he does it symbolically instead of taking away the guy's hearing completely and piercing his eardrum. But I think there's a deeper meaning why. Last week's Seder says, "Vayishma Yisro." What did he hear? Kol Asher Osa Kriyas Yamsuf and Tzias Mitzrayim. So the Zohar asks, "Vechi Yisro Levad Shama?" Yisro is the only one who heard this. Shomu Amim Yergozun Kriyas Yamsuf. Everybody heard. The whole world heard it. So why Vayishma Yisro? So Zohar says, "If the whole world heard it, but they didn't listen to it, they didn't take it seriously personally. They heard it, general, nothing to do with us." Yisro heard and made an impression on him. He took it to heart. He took it personally. That was Yisro. That's the difference. You can hear Maimon Har Sinai, but if you don't take it personally, the Ronshom means me, then it doesn't mean anything. Kayin was like that. Kayin says, the Rabban Hashem came and gave Kayin a Musa Shmus. After that it says, Vayomer Kayin al Hevel Achiv, Vayi Biyosim Asada, Vayokum Kayin, Vayarav is Hevel Achiv. So the question is, what did he say? Torah doesn't say what he said there. He said something to his brother, and then when they're in the field, he killed him. So it must be a connection to what he said to him. So there's Medroshim Gilor. They were arguing about how to split up the world, the Yerusha. Who's going to take the Metalklin? Who's going to take the Karkos? Who's going to have the Makom HaMikdash? Who's going to have Eretz Yisrael? And they were fighting. So they're fighting. They ended up killing one. Kain killed heaven. The Ibn Ezra says, what's Pshuto Shal Mikra? What's Pashuk Pshat in the Pasuk? Pasuk can't be missing something. Kain told Hevel something. It must be obvious. Pshuto Shal Mikra, what it was. So it's very simple. He told them over the Musa Shmuz that the Rabban Shem just told him. But that doesn't make sense. If he told them over the Musa Shmuz, why should that be the Hakdama to killing him? If anything, it should prevent him from killing him. I'll tell you what. When I was a much younger rabbi in Miami, so I was young, and a lot of my balabatim were older than me. And they were professional people, and I was a little intimidated sometimes to give them Musa, privately, face to face. They were older than me, and so I figured I have a perfect way of doing it. I have to give a drush on Shabbos, so I'm going to put in the Musa that I think this specific person needs in the drush. He's there, he's going to hear it, he's going to know, he's got the message. And I'm not going to mention his name or mention any hint that it's talking about anybody specific, but it's so clear that he's going to get the message. That's what I thought. Inevitably, every time I did this, the person who the Musa was meant for used to come over after davening with a big smile on his face and say, Rabbi, you really gave it to them. I hope the people who needed that Musa got the message. And I was thinking to myself, I'm sure they didn't. It was you. It's always, you gave it to them. Somebody else. That's what's Kayin. The Rabban Shem told Kayin a tremendous Musa Shmuz. Kayin said, you know what? That's great Musa, but not do me. I don't need that. And there's only one other guy around, Hevel. It's not much him. I'm not going to tell my parents it. So I'll tell him, I said, listen, the Rabban Shem just came and told me this great Musa. Now, I obviously don't need it. But, you know, you could use it. Because he ignored the personal Musa himself, and he gave it over to Hevel, then Vayibi Yosem Basode, Vayokum Kayin, Vayargus Hevelochim. The Svarim Sifri Kabbalah say that Yisro was a Gilgul of Kayin, a Kaini. And he was Mesakim, this idea. There he listened to the Musa and didn't take it personally. And now he heard what the whole world heard and took it personally. This part of the ear is, the Gemara says, an afar cheses. It's like a funnel. The purpose of this part of the ear, biologically, physiologically, is to direct the sounds to you. You wouldn't have an earlobe, you wouldn't have this outer ear, so the sound would pass you by. This way, it's collected, it's directed towards your ear. It makes it personal. That's what it is. Shoshama Sinai. This guy heard Lo Signal. He heard Avodai Hei. So why did he go and sell himself? Because he didn't take it personally. Yeah, Bobby, not allowed to steal. Doesn't mean me. Bobby, not allowed to sell something ever. Doesn't mean me. So which part of his ear was the problem? Not the inner ear. He heard it. If he didn't hear it, then it applies to him. This is the ear that was the problem. That's why we're Maratzeya, his ear lobe, not his inner ear. Because the problem is he didn't direct it towards himself. That was the problem. I was thinking with that, you can understand the following Gemara, and that's what we'll end with. The Gemara says in Ksubis, why are a person's fingers tapered? They're thinner at the end. Because if you hear Lashon Hara, you should put your fingers in your ears. Right? It's hard to carry around earplugs all the time. But this way you have earplugs connected to your body. Right? Like they connect, mittens to a kid when he goes to Gan. So here you have ready-made earplugs. Whenever you need them, put your fingers in your ear. Yet there's another Gemara. The Gemara says, why is the earlobe flexible? So you can fold it and put it in your ear as used as an earplug. So I have two questions. First of all, what do you need fingers and earlobes for? You have feet. You're Lashon Hara. Walk away. Right? Get out of there. Standing with your fingers in your ears. Walk away. Secondly, why do you need fingers and earlobes? Right? Are earlobes only for people without fingers? But without fingers, you can't put your earlobes in either. So you need fingers to push your earlobes in, so what are the earlobes for? You have the fingers anyway. So you can... Why do you need fingers for to get away from Lashon Hara and earlobe? And you have feet, why do you need either of them? The answer is that there's three kinds of Lashon Hara, and each one symbolizes the way to avoid it. There's Lashon Hara that comes from a Baal Lashon Hara. Baal Lashon Hara is a professional guy who gets enjoyment out of it, does it all the time. That kind of person's a Rasha. And you shouldn't have anything to do with him. So walk away. That kind of Rasha, use your feet. Avoid him. Get away from him. Al tishaber l'Rasha. But most people who speak Lashon Hara are not Baali Lashon Hara. They're people like us. Every once in a while we're nichshol. We don't know it's Lashon Hara, or we can't control ourselves, or it just comes out. I'm not a Rasha, not a Baal Lashon Hara, but I'm speaking Lashon Hara. If I walk away from that person, I'm giving him the impression that he's a Rasha. That's not right. So I stay there, and I tell him, look, you're not a Rasha. I'm waiting until you stop doing something wrong, and I'm here because you're the kind of person I'd like to have a connection with. But right now, I can't have a connection to what you're doing because it's something you're doing something wrong. That's you are somebody wrong. So I put my fingers in my ears, and I stand there. Doesn't mean literally, but that's the lesson. That's the message. You are not a Rasha that I have to walk away from. But what you're doing now, I can't have any connection to. I'm putting my fingers in my ears. That's the fingers. There's another kind of Lashon Hara. The other kind of Lashon Hara is like this. I have a child who's involved in Shidduchim. And I'm checking up on a girl, boy, for my child. And I'm walking with a friend, Reuven. And he doesn't have any children. And Shimon comes by, and Shimon, I know, knows this person that I'm checking up on. So I say to Shimon, could you tell me something about so-and-so? And I see from the look on Shimon's face that, hey, that's the person you want to know about, he's going to say something terrible. Shimon knows that the person I'm looking up on is a murderer. He's murdered his last five spouses. Now that's information that I really have to know. Right? Because I'm not interested in my daughter marrying Jack the Ripper. Not just a small character flaw. I don't want her to be number six. So Shimon has to tell me that. It's not Lashon Hara, you know, it's a chiyuv. It's a toelis. He has to tell me it exactly as it is. Right? Not spare any of the gory details without the kavanah ra, whatever, just for the toelis. But Reuven doesn't have to hear it. I have to hear it. Reuven has no interest at all in knowing that that so-and-so is a murderer. Doesn't help him at all. No toilets. So now, Reuven sees this guy's getting ready to say something. Shimon's getting ready to say Lashon Hara. So he puts his fingers in the ears. He's going to give the impression that this is Lashon Hara. And then maybe the Shimon's not going to say it, and I won't listen to it. And that's a terrible thing. My poor daughter's going to go get murdered. So therefore, here, Shimon can't put his fingers in his ears. You know what he does? He takes his earlobes, and he covers his ears. Why? What does that say? This is not Lashon Hara for you or for you, but it's Lashon Hara for me, because this part of the ear makes the sound personalized to me. So I'm taking that part of the ear and in a personalized way telling you, this is not Lashon Hara for you or for you, but for me it is. So you say what you have to say, and you listen to what you have to listen, but I can't be involved in this, but not because it's Lashon Hara, because it's Lashon Hara to me. And therefore, I don't put my fingers in the ears, I put my earlobes in the ears. In any case, Ashreichem, Baruch Hashem, that you're able to devote not only a night to Limud HaTorah, right, but Yeshiva Shalavim is days and nights. Right? This is just like the icing on the cake. But there's a lot of cake here also. So, Ashreichem, that you're able to, what's it called, to be able to be in a Makom Torah, and to learn Torah, and to be Mamshech, Maimed Har Sinai, and to ultimately know that the Torah is not just a bunch of things to do, but it's your entire lifestyle, your entire life, your values, your standards, your goals, your personality, your way of life. And that's what you're developing here by being Mamshich Maimed Har Sinai. And Amir Hashem, if you live Torah like that, not only Lishmoa Likol Hashem, but Lishmoa Bikol Hashem, and Amir Hashem, you'll be Meshaber to the Ratzon of the Rabban Hashem, and Meshaber to the Ratzon Hashem, in the habit of the Rabbanus on himself, Ashreichem Bolam Azev, Ashreichem Bolam Azev.